From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. The Minnow Bucket. Nobody has a better selection of outdoor tools and toys for every hunting excursion. Gear up at the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Now, time for the show. Here's your host of the Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the special Stump the Chump version of the Outdoor Connection. TJ Harding with the Minnow Bucket is here. If you have a question related to the outdoors, hunting, fishing, camping, whatever, give us a call. Studio line is 308-532-8221. Call in and we'll try to get you a good answer. And TJ, how are you been?
Doing great, Rick. How have you guys been?
Doing fine. You're probably, if I was in your shoes, this is what I'd be doing. I would be getting in the hunt mode, knowing that you're 2 weeks away from a moose hunt.
Yes, sir.
I would be checking out mentally and then start to, totally into hunt mode.
Yeah, it was kind of funny last night when I got home. I was talking to the kids, asking them about how their day at school went and everything else, and I was just uneasy, just restless and wandering around the house, and my wife's like, what in the heck are you doing? It's like, oh, I've got to find this, I need to find that, I need to find my luggage bag, I need to find this, and then she just shook her head and laughed, and she goes, you got 2.5 weeks, you need to settle down, but it's getting there, man. We're getting close, and I'm excited. So
now, is this far enough north? Are you into the Yukon subspecies?
No, nope. Sure? It'll actually be the Canadian moose.
Canadian
moose. Yep, okay. Canadian moose. It'd be the same type of moose that are in Maine and Newfoundland and Minnesota has some moose. But no, we'll be looking at the map, like about a third to half the way up Saskatchewan, and then on the western quarter. So it'd be straight west to Saskatoon, and then north a little ways up in that country. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, is this out with, the wall tents and everything?
No.
It's staying in a cabin.
We're staying in a cabin. It's going to be pretty modern facilities, it sounds like. When I was first looking into it, and I asked them, is this a bush hunt? Are we wearing our hip boots and wading through bogs and everything else? And they kind of chuckled at me and said, no. He goes, it's honestly going to be fairly similar to what you're probably used to in Nebraska. And I said, okay, well, how so? And he said, we'll be hunting farm fields. And then there's, they do, the tree groves and stuff like that. And he said, there's some bush and there's some bog, but he said, we'll call them out of that because it's a lot easier to load them when they're out in them fields.
Well, no joke.
But it sounds like mostly it's wheat and oats and alfalfa fields. And then we'll call, and they should be, the rut should be starting about any day now for the moose up there, and hopefully still be going strong in a couple weeks.
Now, thinking of the shop and the wall space you have available. Where's the head of this thing going?
That's been a conversation piece for a while now. I'd like to put him kind of above the front door if there's enough room between.
Wow.
I have to get one on the ground first. I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but it's definitely been brought up in conversation down there in the afternoons. So
now, one of the questions I had come in for this week's show, and everybody, you're welcome to call in. You don't have to call me ahead of time, and weenie out on us and not want to be on the air, but one of the questions always comes up this time of year. We're getting into deer season.
Yep.
And the question is, what's the best rifle for deer? Now, before we get to that question, what are you taking with you on your moose hunt?
I am taking two rifles. I don't, on a hunt like that, it'd be foolish not to take at least two rifles, in case the scope falls off or, something happens.
I had a firing pin break on an antelope.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. You bet. No, I'm taking, I've got a Inner Arms Whitworth in a 35 Whalen, and it's topped with a fixed 6 power Leopold, and then I have a Remington 700 Classic that's chambered in 358 Norma Mag, which most people don't know what it is, but essentially it's like a 338 Win Mag that's necked up to that 35 caliber.
Right.
And I'm shooting a 250.
Same thing with the Whalen, 30-06
necked to 35, yep. But the Whalen, I've got 225 grain Accubonds loaded for it, and then that 358, I'm loading 250 grain and Hornady interlocked. So I'm sure they'll both do the trick if given the opportunity.
That both of those rifles are very capable. A moose is a big animal.
Yes,
so
they are.
You need to. I don't know, people that's never been around them or never thought about hunting them. Even elk, to a certain extent, if you want to figure out how to range them, go out and watch horses for a while.
Oh, yeah.
They're about the same size animal.
Yeah. No, I was asking, I was talking to the guide when we first booked this deal, and it's kind of funny because they've got, of course, the Canadian accent, and he said, "Hey, they're big animals, so bring enough gun, eh?"
Hey.
And I said, "Well, you know, are comparable to, you know, the Shiras are comparable to the Yukon, Alaska Yukon moose." He said, "They're body wise, they're about the same size as the Alaska Yukon, but they don't get as large of antlers."
Right.
He said, "We hate to guarantee anything." He said, "But you're going to see plenty of bulls that are probably 40 inches." He said, "But we'll try to shoot them if they're 50. So I figured that's.
Sounds like you'll come home with meat one way or the other.
Oh, man, I sure hope so. And my counterpart that's going with me, Bob Meyer from RJ Meyer & Associates, he's my accountant and a good friend of mine. I told him the other day, I said, "My expectations are I'm about guaranteed that one of us will shoot one, and I'm pretty darn positive we'll both get one," the way they're kind of making it out to be. So, and kind of a kicker to the deal, that's right up there where the Milo Hansen buck was shot.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "If you want to shoot a whitetail while you're here, we can make that happen." And I said, "Well, let's just plan on that."
Yes. If I'm making this trip, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Well, now back to the question that came in.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best deer rifle?
Oh,
way to start an argument.
I get that a lot. You know, people come in, "What's the best for this? What's the best for that?" And I usually tell them, you know, I'll ask, you know, certain questions. You know, what are you comfortable shooting? What have you been shooting? You know, I always figured for deer in this area, you know, the 6mm are fine. I prefer something a little larger, you know, 25 caliber, 26, 27, even up to 30. You know, anywhere in that 257 or average 25-06. 6.5 Creedmoor, of course. Everybody's heads over heels over that.
That's a round that just took the world
by storm. Oh, man, you aren't kidding. It's got a cool name.
It does. And it was developed right here.
Yeah. You know, of course, your 270, you get into 7mm, 7 mag, of course, is always popular, 30-06, 308. I mean,
right.
And you know, it would be so difficult to put your thumb on just one. You know, when you look at most of them, and a lot of people don't realize it, but if you look at most of those calibers I just mentioned, and you look at the ballistics on them and the trajectory out to 500 yards, they all land within about 6 inches of each other at 500 yards. You know, people always talk about a flat shooter and laser quick and whatever else, but at 500 yards, the 25-06 only drops about 4 inches less than the 30-06 does it.
Right.
You know, with a lot heavier bullets. So
my standard answer when somebody asks me what's the best rifle for deer, I tell them it's whatever you shoot the best.
Absolutely.
Because they're all, you know, as long as you reach the minimum legal energy limits, which they all do.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
Yeah.
You can take whitetail with
it. Oh, yeah.
I hunted primarily with 30 calibers for years, and then started playing with some other ones. There's here's one you don't hear often, 38-55.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good river bottom round.
Is that straight wall?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's a straight wall case, and which I love straight wall cases. I've hunted from a pistol side of things with other straight walls, 357, 44 mag. I would love to have one of the, remember the Ruger Deer Slayer they made?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a 10-22, but
yep.
It was 44 mag.
Yep.
I want one of those.
Yeah, those are premium right now.
Yes, man. They are. And then, I don't know, it was about 15 years or so ago, Savage sent me a 243 to do some work with. And I had never hunted with a 243. Went out and I've become an advocate for that rifle.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great round.
It is.
And for this part of the country, it'll take just about anything you want to do.
It will. You know, and 243 probably, you know, a lot of people look at it as a youth gun or, you know, for their wife or girlfriend or whatever, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with 243, you know.
Nope.
At all. Well, this year, they've got that special landowner hunt.
Yes.
The week before regular rifle season for qualifying landowners. And my youngest daughter is 10, so she gets her first deer tag this year. And so I got my girls that early landowner tag so we can go out and have the whole farm to ourselves and don't have to worry about road hunters and everything else. But
hopefully.
Hopefully. But she's going to shoot. I built a 350 Legend on an AR platform.
There's another good straight wall case.
I built it to go to Iowa with, but, you know, it's 150 to maybe 200 yards if you're in good position. But It's got a little vortex 1-4 with a red dot in it. She thought that red dot was pretty cool, so of course that's the one she's going to shoot this year.
That works.
Absolutely. And that's a pleasure to shoot. It doesn't kick bad, and I think she'll do all right.
I've read a lot on the 350 Legend since Winchester brought that out. And I will probably have one sometime.
I know where you can get one.
Where? Yeah. You got another one down there in Iraq?
I got one down there.
Bolt action?
Yeah, Ruger American.
Mmm.
And I've got ammo for it.
Mmm, that's even better. We may have to talk about that. I've got a rifle that I've... It was a project rifle that I bought, and it was supposed to be a 45-70. Well, when I got it, I couldn't chamber 45-70 in it. And I've had one of those dumb butt attacks. I couldn't figure out why. And finally got it over to Blaine Rotowall, and he said, well, you're never going to chamber it because it's a short action.
Mm.
I thought, well, duh. Why didn't I see that? But 350 Legend would, if I'd re-barrel it, that would work.
There you go.
So maybe do that. So another one I'm seriously considering re-barreling is the old 1917 Enfield, which was a rifle in World War One. It's, of course, 30-06. But I like the action. I like the way the rifle feels. And it's a round we've talked about here recently, that 9.3x62 Mauser.
You bet.
That might be the way to go.
That would be fun.
So
that would be very fun.
You mentioned ammo. Is the ammo supplies lightening up any, getting better?
You know, it's week to week. You know, 1 week I'll get a good shipment and you'll think things are really starting to lighten up, and then don't see anything at all for about 3 weeks. And so it's still, you know, it's one of those things I tell people, if it's on the shelf and it fits in your gun and it goes bang and you pull the trigger, you might not get your pet load that you've shot for 20 years, but, you know, if there's something available, you might want to grab it. And I hate to feed into the panic or anything, but we're getting close to hunting season,
yes,
you know, where people are going to be needing that stuff. So
I have got a kick out of the sign that you have by the cash register. It was related to ammo, and it says, how can I disappoint you today?
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, that's true. And for you as a vendor for that, I'm sure it's real frustrating.
It is, you know, and I need to probably cool it sometimes. I get worked up because I hear the same question 100 times a day. And I have to kind of reset my brain waves a little bit before I spout off at the mouth.
Well, just, you know, wait till I come in with the oddball question.
Yeah, like 16-gauge double O's.
Yeah, 16-gauge double O's. I'm sure you'd have had that.
Yeah, I had a heck of a time getting any double O's this year. Yeah, I think all total, I may have had 10 cases total. You know, if I'd have had 100 of them, I probably have sold every one of them. You know, but it is what it is, you know. And, you know, I had some steel shot, and people were buying that and going and shooting doves with steel. And I never, you know, I kind of joked about it leading up to season. You know, oh, there'll be people out there shooting doves with 3.5-inch number twos, and they did. So,
whoa.
But, yeah, but, you know, like I said, the guys wanted to get out there and go, so
if
they had to
gotta
do something.
Shoot, you got to shoot.
Yeah.
I had a gun at the gun show this last week that I was joking with some people about hunting doves with. It's a 10-gauge.
Mm.
It was a Zabala double. And that would be... I put a note on it, you know, if you wanted to buy it, you could be your own anti-aircraft battery with that thing. That's a man-sized gun.
Yeah, it's a man-sized recoil on them double barrels, too.
Yep, but... I'm a double barrel fan.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up shooting side by sides. That's, you know, your first love type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked that, and then thought I got fancy some years back and went with under and overs, but
yeah.
I'm still a double guy.
Yeah. I have one over under. I've got a Ruger Red Label that I bought from a guy here a couple of years ago, and I really like that gun.
That's straight grip or English stock?
English. So it's a nice one.
I love English stocks, straight grips. And I've got a brace. I've got the 12 and the 20 like that. And that's kind of one of my pride and joy.
Yeah, I bet.
What else are you hearing from people? We talked about doves a little bit.
And like we was talking before the show, I mean, they're moving out. You know, it's getting late enough in the year, even though we haven't had that major cold front to push them out. We've had some cool nights, you know, in the last week or so, and they're moving. You know, being out in the field myself, archery deer hunting, I've been out several times. I think I've put in I figure 24 hours in the stand so far, and a lot of does and fawns. Haven't seen much for buck activity during shooting light, but we just haven't had the cool weather. You know, we need one of those major clippers from Alberta to come through. And
well, when you get up there to Saskatchewan, you can push one down.
Bring one down with me when I come home. Yeah, but no, it's it's hunting season. You know, I've heard some success stories about the archery guys with deer, and rifle elk season's open now.
Yeah,
and I am a check station there at the Minnow Bucket. I haven't checked any in yet, but I know there's been at least 3 bulls taken in box elder unit. One was shot, I believe, southwest of Wellfleet, I think is what somebody told me the other day. And then I know there's one shot north of Farnham yesterday.
Both of those are, really good places.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of elk down in there.
And then, of course, you see the ones on Facebook coming from the Panhandle units. The North Platte River units have been very good, very, very productive so far. But they doubled the amount of bull tags in that unit this year.
Yeah.
So
population is growing, mm-hmm. and they need to thin some out.
Yeah.
We're going to step away and do a quick commercial break, folks. But if you need to like to call in and ask us a question, it's 308-532-8221. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Rhonda from the Agency on Aging in North Platte. Open enrollment for your Medicare Part D drug plan runs from October 15th to December 7th to give Medicare recipients a chance to review their drug plan to make sure their prescriptions are covered. It is essential to review your plan annually. We can help you with that. Please call West Central Nebraska Agency on Aging today to set up an appointment. We look forward to serving you. Brought to you by the Nebraska DHHS SHIP program.
Anglers and hunters, pros and beginners, there's outfits and gear for every level and class of outdoorsmen at the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. Fall archery is here, so come down to the Minnow Bucket and let TJ help you get rigged up for your next silent takedown. He has the knowledge and know-how from his lifelong experience hunting and fishing in western Nebraska. Check out their Facebook page for more details and stop by the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers, for all your archery needs this 2020 fall season.
A tradition of looking out for you, here for everything you do, wherever life takes you, we got you covered.
This is Marcy from Hines & Insurance. Whatever your insurance needs are, no matter what your life situation is, we've got you covered. The best coverage at the lowest possible rate. We've built our reputation on it. Hines & Insurance in the Big White House on the corner of 4th and Willow.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Partial sunshine develops here for today with a high in the mid-70s. North winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. And for tonight, partly cloudy sky conditions, a low near 44. Saturday, sunshine, high of 82 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 91. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket. For every hunting excursion, gear up at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got TJ here with the Minnow Bucket, TJ Harding, and we'll take any questions. Did you have a call come in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I was hoping other people call in. I'd love to hear other people's questions. But I waited a while, and so I got a couple for you.
Sure.
I was up in South Dakota on the Big Lake and on the Missouri, and I caught some nice white bass. And when I was cleaning them, they had eggs in them in September.
Hmm. That seems...
Is that strange, or is that normal?
To me, that's a little late, but...
I'd say definitely late.
I don't know if it's anything abnormal. What was the water temperature? Did you check that when you were up there?
Yeah, it was nice, warm water.
Okay.
That's for sure.
And
something to think about. And then the other thing was these turkeys that group up on farmers' backyards, I wonder how many turkeys there's going to be in those flocks before they decide to do something about it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
That.
Do something about it? You mean Game and Parks or the farmer or what?
I have no idea, really. But there's they're all really available to hunters, but not where they are.
Yeah.
And I've talked to some of the people, and they say, well, my wife likes to have them around, and so I don't know how long that'll go.
It'll go until she has to start washing the car regularly, mm-hmm. or they're pulling down the gutters from mm-hmm. roosting on the eaves of the house. There's several several farmers in the area that have that issue, and they let me hunt there. And that's the hunts I generally wait, and I bring the kid that's on his first turkey hunt, because we find the travel path between the roost and maybe around the yard, but they go off somewhere to feed.
Yeah.
And we'll go set up there and let the kid get his first turkey.
That's one thing that I don't think has really caught on is the fall turkey hunt. You know, you hear of a few people going out and shooting a few, but, you know, spring's obviously popular because they got them strutting and gobbling and everything else, and it's exciting. But the fall turkey hunt, you can shoot any turkey you want. It doesn't have to be a tom. And I believe you get one tag and you shoot two birds on one tag.
Correct.
So it's a great opportunity, you know, for people that, you know, either have too many turkeys and want to let some people come out to thin the herd a little bit, and, you know, people to get out, like Rick said, to get on their first hunt. I mean, it's still rewarding and fun, and it just hasn't really ever caught on very much, I don't think.
I have a ball watching a kid shoot the first turkey, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good way to learn about them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is you go where they are, and you don't care to shoot. You just learn about how they act and stuff, because they're actually running around in places right here in North Platte.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of places where they are that you can't hunt, but you can sure watch them.
I have gone down east side of Rodeo Road, where 12th Street goes around over to the viaduct, come through town that way a couple times, and there's a group of turkeys that are out there around the coffee shop out there. What's the name of it? Randy's Coffee Shop out there.
Uh-huh.
But there's a big flock in there, and they move across. I've seen the traffic stop there on 12th Street because the turkeys are coming through.
But they're fun to watch.
They are.
Anyway, thank you for your answer, and I'll listen for other calls.
You bet. Call in again sometime.
Thanks for the show. Bye-bye.
You bet.
You know, another point, you were talking about how many birds and stuff out there. There's actually more birds in the fall than there is any other time of year.
Oh, absolutely. Man, there's a lot of turkeys out there right now. Every day, you know, on the way to and from work, you know, driving up through the canyons, I mean, the flocks, they had a great hatch this year, you know, and there's, I mean, it's nothing to see a couple hundred turkeys just on an afternoon drive, you know, down through the canyons.
And all that young of the year, this year's brood, they haven't had to go through a winter yet.
Right.
They haven't had to go through food shortages or predation or anything like that. So there's far more turkeys in the fall than there is in the spring.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of them out there.
And fall is traditionally the turkey hunting time. It's only in the last maybe 30 years that we shifted over to spring somehow.
Yeah.
But that's why turkeys are traditional Thanksgiving dinner. That's what the pilgrims shot.
Yep, absolutely.
And
I think people get so wrapped up, and my, you know, myself included, you know, with archery deer, and then pheasant season opens up, and, you know, then you get rifle deer coming shortly after that, and the turkey just, for whatever reason, has kind of taken a back seat in the fall. You know, you don't hear of a lot of people getting geared up to go fall turkey hunting, you know.
You're just running with the wrong camp. I've got my group of guys, we do that. That's one of the fun things we do.
Yeah.
And then I keep pressuring the game and parks to let rifles be legal in the fall season.
Yeah.
If you're sitting up there in a deer stand, why drag two different weapons up there?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a safety issue in my book. And states around us allow rifles. And where I grew up down in Texas, I never hunted turkey with a shotgun until I got to Nebraska.
Is that right?
Our game was, you know, we'd sit there and you'd look at them, and there were, you know, a bunch of turkeys out there about 100 yards away, and say, okay, there they are. Let them get out a little further. You could tell the classic turkey hunter in Texas. You know, everybody at that time, they used to have rifle racks in the back of their pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that had the old Model 24 Savage over-under, 222 over 12 gauge, that was the turkey
hunter.
That was
the turkey slayer right there, I'll be darned.
But, yeah, we did a lot of hunts with rifles down there. That was just the way it was done.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that was kind of a shock when I got to Nebraska, and I went, what? I got to use a shotgun. So anyway, do you have a favorite turkey load and hunt?
Yeah, I do. I've got a Remington 1187 that I've got set up just for turkey hunting, and I've got a sight mark red dot on it, and I use the Winchester Longbeard 3-inch 5-shot is what I like to shoot.
5-shot is what I use. I started a quest for a 100-yard turkey gun a few years back, and I've I've got a 870 Tactical, which, you know, you bought it and it's already blacked out and everything. You don't need camo on it. And then I've been playing with different chokes, and right now I've got a Carlson choke on it that I've killed one at 78 yards.
Yeah.
And that I might be able to push that 100-yard mark someday with that. And buffered number 5 Winchester.
There you go.
Is what I shoot. That seems to be just a perfect turkey load for most of the things I use.
Yeah, I've taken some out there. I stepped it off over 70, and I was like, holy smokes, I shouldn't have shot that bird. That's probably too far for me to be trying it, but, you know, it's one of those things, trial and error. I mean, and I've told people forever, you learn more from the stuff you get wrong than the stuff you get right every time. So
I'll tell this story. Tony Johnson, local banker here, was on this hunt with me. Tony's a big archer, and it was that time of the season where you had archery and shotgun, and I was using a 12 gauge muzzle loader that I built, and I went out to shoot a turkey the first day, and I wasn't convinced I had enough shot and powder in it, and I decided all the turkeys I saw that particular day, they were further than I wanted to shoot, and I thought, well, this is easy to change a load in a muzzle loader.
Yeah.
So I went to 200 grains of powder.
Wow.
And basically a tube of Daisy BBs. I figured, I'm going to get them. Well, the next morning, I'm sitting there. I'm buried back in a little tunnel of cedars, and turkeys came in, and I fired my first shot, and the smoke cleared, and I'm looking, and it looked like Garfield and Odie running around one another, and I fired the second shot, and smoke cleared, and they're running the other way. And then Tony materializes out of the bush, and he walks up and he looks back in where I was, and he goes, tell me, he said, did you have both eyes closed when you tried to shoot those? And I went back and tested it later on paper, you know, like you should. There's too much powder. I was actually blowing a hole through the center of the shot pattern. It printed like the letter C.
Oh, I'll be darned.
It could be upside down, could be right, you know, but it always looked like a letter C.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
Learn from your experience.
There you go.
Sounds like we're about done there. So anything else you want to add real quick, TD?
I don't believe so. Just enjoy your time outdoors, and good luck to everybody this year.
Good luck on your moose hunt.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.